Be honest. When was the last time you had the thrill of discovering a new band from a brand new artist and it made you feel the way you did hearing Midnight Oil or Powderfinger or the Divinyls? It's probably been a while. It's pretty normal to hit an age where life takes over, you've got bills to pay, and finding new music falls to the bottom of your to-do list. And honestly, why would you bother when any number of streaming services can curate your own personal greatest hits at the literal push of a button? But it turns out that's not just keeping you in your bubble, it's changing the kind of music that gets made in the first place. New research shows a dramatic decline in sales of new music over the last 20 years, and it's creating a nostalgia spiral that could mean even when you want to find new music, it all sounds the same. I've got one of the ABC's best music minds with me to give you a few tracks to break out of that rut. And I will say, if you are listening on podcast to catch up, unfortunately, I can't play you the music that we did on the radio for copyright reasons. So you'll just have to use your memory and your thumbs to find that music. But first, Tim Kelly is the head of music business at the Australian Institute of Music. He's been researching the state of new music in Australia. He's also worked at the top levels of the Australian record industry. Tim, welcome to Life Matters.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Why does it feel so hard to find new music?
It's an interesting conversation because in one sense, there's more choice than ever. You know, nearly all the music that's ever made is available on streaming platforms. But there's this concept called the tyranny of choice, which is where people have too much choice. They get overwhelmed and their behaviors actually become more conservative. And I think that couples with the design of streaming platforms in terms of encouraging passive listening. And as you said, the, I can't think of what to play. I'll just play a playlist and someone else can choose it for me.
Okay, so a playlist curated by someone else. Why is that a problem? Isn't that what we're doing when we're turning on the radio anyway?
Kind of, but the someone else is actually an algorithm. And I think there's a distinct difference between human curation and data-led curation. Data-led curation via algorithms will serve you more of what you're already consuming. It will make the calculation, you listen to X, I'm going to give you more X. When we have conversations as humans, we tend to lead with expert-led recommendation. And often that takes a tangent. If someone says they like a particular artist, you don't say, well, here's someone else nearly the same. You actually go off on a tangent and pick up some aspect of that artist and recommend from there.
So me listening to whatever on repeat from the early 2000s in a vacuum isn't a problem, but you're saying that this sort of behavior is influencing the kind of new music that gets made and gets promoted.
I think there's, again, there's some really interesting juxtapositions in the music economy at the moment because it's easier than ever to release music and more people than ever are releasing music. It's about 100,000 songs a day. And, back in the 80s, it was about 100,000 singles a year. So there's been huge growth in terms of the ability of people to release music, but less of it is being heard. And as the competition to be heard becomes more intense, there's real strong gravities to conform to what the platforms say is working, and the labels as well. It's not just the streaming platforms, it's also the labels. But the key thing here is that the outcome of streaming is that we're listening to less new music. So just in context, the music, recorded music, peaked in the early 2000s in the CD age, and then the internet and piracy wiped out over half the value of the music industry over the next 14 years, which is obviously a huge event. And streaming has turned that around. The recorded music has grown with streaming. It's now back up to just slightly more than the levels it was in 2014, which was the low point. But new music has continued to decline. New music in Australia in 2024 was only 4% up from 2014. And that's when taking into account inflation. So in reality, it's down 30%. So the takeaway from this is that streaming saved recorded music, but it hasn't saved new music. And I think industry needs to take that really seriously to regenerate itself.
Well, also here with me is Dan Condon, music editor at Double J. And you can't see this, but I can. He's wearing a T-shirt of the band behind my very first CD that I had, TLC. So you love a bit of nostalgia as well then, Dan.
Oh, I do, absolutely. And I think it's natural to gravitate towards stuff. And look, the nostalgia, it serves so many purposes. There's a comfort element to it. There's the fact that, look, these are still good songs. You know, that first TLC record is still incredible. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I can certainly only speak anecdotally and from what I glean through my work, not so much like Tim has just a bevy of statistics and proper research. But it all does really align. And this idea of choice paralysis is something that, you know, I myself on the bus in this morning, I just sat there in silence for the first 60 seconds because I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to play. I was looking at my streaming service and I could have listened to anything at all. And it's a real thing. And even though I'm spending all of my days surrounded by music, I mean, it's that kind of urge to go to something familiar and something that you know you like, it's real.
How many new artists are you trying to sample, say, in a given month, Dan?
Yeah, I was interested to hear that kind of 100,000 a day. Not surprised at all. Just the influx of new music is truly staggering. Look, the only answer I can give to that is as much as I can. But you can't listen to everything. And that's you know, the sad truth. And so you do rely on a sense of curation. You know, I work in curation, but I'm also leaning on other people all around the world to tell me, oh, this is really great. This is worth your time. Because, you know, if you waste time on something that's not so good, then you might not get to something that's really great. So I find that, yeah, that kind of expert-led discovery is really important, and sad that it is kind of diminishing.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, chatting with Dan Condon, music editor at Double J, and Tim Kelly from the Australian Institute of Music about why you are stuck in a nostalgia spiral. It's kind of your brain. It's also had a lot to do with streaming, the sheer volume of new music that's coming out. And Tim, at least, reckons it's a problem because it affects the kind of new music that is being made and promoted by record labels. So I'm asking you, if you've managed to break out of a rut, what are you listening to at the moment? Lots of recommendations here. Craig says this is very topical because I hear most of my new music via 2SER. Unfortunately, the community radio station is now fighting to stay alive. Big ups to community radio across Australia. 57-year-old texter says, Father of Peace, Bluish. Thank you, Rob from Port Fairy, for that one. Nice to have that musical frisson at 57. Colin says, I'm 66. My favourite new song is Build Me a House from the new CD by Queen Porter Stomp. I was at their album launch on Friday night. Some pretty cool kids on the text line. Dan, you've already got some new Australian music that you've got to wet our whistles, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no shortage. I have to be honest with you, I haven't heard either of those songs that your listeners have suggested. I'm going to have to go and listen to them after this.
So first of all, you've got Sometimes by Meg Mac. So not a super new artist.
No, and that's something that I think is also really interesting. Obviously, discovering new artists is vital because, you know, what's going to happen? These artists will just, you know, be undiscovered forever. Now, Meg Mac is not a new artist, but she's kind of entering, I guess, a new stage of her career, mid-30s now, and she was in her early 20s when she broke out. There's been this kind of narrative that once a woman turns 30, she's no longer viable as a pop musician or as a musician, which is obviously nonsense. And that's something that certainly at Double J, where I work, we're really keen to support artists through that kind of middle stage of their career. And look, an artist like Meg Mac, she's come and put out this new album this year, and it's a real genuine, real difference to what she's done before. It's, you know, she's taken on in some ways more of a pop kind of a sound, but also lyrically, I mean, you know, she's not in her early 20s anymore. So her experiences are informing her lyrics in very different ways. And we're seeing, you know, the growth of this artist. And that's something that while so important to get around these artists when they're really emerging, it's also important to not forget about them when they're on album four or five.
Dan, what is it about this song that you love?
I really like the acknowledgement in the chorus, which you just played there, is that sometimes you got to do something to make you feel better, even if people don't like it. And it's like, that's such a mid-30s realization of just like, oh, maybe I don't need to please everyone all the time. And that's something that she probably wouldn't have put in a song, you know, 10 years ago. And I love just seeing the growth, because I grow with these artists. We all grow with these artists as well. And we're not the same people we were 15 years ago. And that has gone kind of in line with this musical change, which in some ways lines up with what pop music is doing. There's certainly some elements of that kind of Chapel Roan style pop that comes into it, but also very much just sounding herself and familiar and comforting and all those things that we love for music from the past.
So your other recommendation is Shadowland by Bad Dreams. This sounds like classic 80s Aussie rock to me. It's super nostalgic.
Yeah, it does. And they make no apologies for that. They're very proud to wear those influences, you know, Midnight Oil, et cetera, on their sleeve. But they are giving it a fresh sound as well. If you listen to the new Bad Dreams album, Ultra Dundee, it doesn't necessarily sound like a Midnight Oil album. It's definitely a Bad Dreams album. And like, you know, like Meg Mac, they have their own perspectives on what's happening in Australia today, especially. And it's very much an album for 2026, even though it sounds a little bit like an album from 1986.
Tim, what do you make of this? Is this nostalgia, like, are they nostalgia baiting, or is this just like I'm following this rich tradition of Australian music?
I think it's a bit of both. I think without doubt we live in nostalgic times. I mean, the fact that we need to remake Harry Potter kind of blows my mind in a way. after only 20 years or so. And we do live in nostalgic times, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with the nostalgia in itself. And there's nothing wrong with artists taking their cues from what's gone on in the past and then developing that and creating a modern expression of that in their music. This is all good stuff. But I also think music needs people who are pushing the envelope and changing music. And I don't think we've had that flavour in our musical lives for some time. You know, if you to be nostalgic, if we go back to the last century, something pushed the envelope of music basically every 7 years, if you go through the history of it. You know, if we're going back with grunge and rock and EDM and hip-hop and all these musical genres that kind of came through, and we're seeing less of that, and I think we're particularly seeing less of that at scale. So this starts with recorded music, but actually flows on to the rest of the economy, because a lot of festivals are struggling to get new live acts to really boost the excitement of their lineups, because not enough artists are cutting through at scale and becoming household names. And so it's about getting this balance between loving and respecting what's gone on before, but also creating a condition for new things to come through. And right now, the industry is very safe because they're making money for rope by selling catalogue recordings, old music, where all the costs have been amortized. And they're struggling to find a way to generate new stars for the future. And I think part of that is due to the fact that there's no incentive for business incentive for record labels to chase new music, because there's no distinction in streaming between the value of a song, whether it's active or passive or new or old.
So one innovative suggestion on the text line, this person says, I would love it if our supermarkets could adopt a policy of playing new and Australian music rather than the old predictable tunes of artists who have already made it. Dan, what do you reckon?
I mean, I'm never going to argue with that. I think I would say, why stop at supermarkets? Let's do it everywhere. I may be a little biased and I probably need to be a bit careful. Being a journalist, probably shouldn't be lobbying too much, but I think there's no way that we can have too much exposure to great Australian music. And as we've said, the quantity is there and the quality is there. The fact that we're kind of eschewing it in some of these areas is just wild.
So you're giving me your recommendations on the text line. Gillian says, I'm in my my 70s and love pop music. Favourites at the moment, Olivia Dean, Caroline Polachek, Chapel Roan, and Taylor, of course. I'd love it if you were talking about me, Gillian, but I suspect you're talking about Taylor Swift. Locally, Missy Higgins, Emma Donovan, Vera Blue, and Montaigne. Another says, I've been listening to a streaming service that allows musicians to upload their own music, and I find heaps of new music, which is mostly electronic. However, I'm really enjoying Christabel and The Sea. Dan, where are your recommendations? Where are you looking for new stuff?
That changes, it evolves constantly. I think the most important thing is to remain open. If you're interested in listening to new music, and I believe everyone should be because it is rewarding to hear and to discover new stuff. But look, I mean, I'm not ignoring the algorithms from the streaming services. I do use them. I don't get a lot of value out of them, if I'm being honest. I get a lot more value when a friend texts me and says, oh, you'd love this song. And, you know, even though I listen to music all day, every day as my job, very privileged, the fact is I miss so much. So I'm always relying on, you know, blogs, on social media, word of mouth, radio, of course, community radio, my own station, Double J, that I work for. Our music directors are always getting me into new music. I think that if you can remain open, and I understand I'm in a privileged position where that's something that I have more time to do. But I do think staying open to these recommendations from everywhere, preferably not algorithmic recommendations, because I completely agree with what Tim said, that the value of them just isn't as strong. But yeah, being open everywhere, you know, if you hear a song on an ad that you like, then, you know, there's an app now, you can just scan it and find out what it was.
See, in that way, it is easier than ever to find it, which is great. Tim, from the industry perspective, or what can we do as consumers to put the pressure on industry? How does industry need to respond to this?
As consumers, obviously, the more we consume new music, then that's going to help industry and they're interested in new music. And I think, as Dan was saying, if you're totally passive, you'll just get whatever you're served. But if you can get some time and find out the people who you trust and listen to their recommendations, it's a really rewarding experience. But I guess my research is trying to argue that industry needs to do something for itself. In the CD age, there was a difference in price between new release and old music, in that new release sold at full price and catalogue sold at mid price. So the business was incentivized to chase new music because there was greater margin in the value of sales. And right now that doesn't exist. And maybe that could be a way of carving up the revenue that comes through. There'll be lots of reasons why people will argue against it, but I think industry needs to do something to incentivize itself to promote and generate more new music. Because if it doesn't, industries that don't regenerate themselves don't tend to have a very good future. I think industry needs to do something for itself here rather than relying on us as consumers.
Tim, Dan, thank you both so much for chatting with me today. Tim Kelly's the head of music business at the Australian Institute of Music. He's been researching the state of new music in Australia. Dan Condon, music editor at Double J. Listen to it. Take a break from ABC Radio National every now and again. Dan and his colleagues have a podcast called Shortcut, where you can find some new music recommendations. You're listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. Coming up next, Nicole Kidman says she's training to be a death doula. Maybe not a role you'd thought about before, but my next guest says in Western cultures, we could stand to think a bit more about what a good death can look like.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.